Five, four, three, two, one. Hello and welcome, people of the world. Marketing as a Foreign Language, episode 99, the big news of the day. Senate panel approves sending subpoenas to CEOs of Twitter, Facebook, and Google. What? Chris Wallace, Facebook, Twitter limits on Hunter Biden story. Smack of Big Brother. Facebook suffers blow in Australia. We've been following this story for quite some time. Legal fight over Cambridge Analytica. Well, that set an interesting precedent. LinkedIn's 50 best startups to work for in 2020. Small business payments and marketing startup Five Star raises $52.5 million. And last but not least, if your marketing plan does not have these five components, it is doomed. My name is Kellen Kautzman. I just so happen to own Send It Rising Internet Marketing, and the show begins right now. Senate panel approves sending subpoenas to CEOs of Twitter, Facebook, and Google. All links to all articles that we cover on the show, guess where they are? They're in the description if you want to go ahead and check them out. NBCNews.com is the website for this particular article. The hearing will discuss reforming Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. We're going to be hearing a lot about that, which offers tech companies protection from liability over content posted by users. By Reuters, the U.S. Senate Commerce Committee on Thursday unanimously voted to approve a plan to subpoena chief executives of Twitter, Alphabet's Google, and Facebook. Let's not forget that Facebook is Facebook, Instagram, that Google is YouTube, and Google under Alphabet, to be held before the election, oh me, oh my, on a prized legal immunity enjoyed by internet companies. The hearing will discuss reforming Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which offers tech companies protection from liability over content posted by users. What do you think? Do you think that Facebook, for example, should be able to simply say, hey, you know what? It's not me, man. I didn't do it. I didn't post it. Why are you coming after me? We're not a news publisher. Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's fair that Facebook has to, every single ounce of ridiculous information that someone might share on the platform, should they have to be held liable? If someone does something and violence occurs because of Facebook let it seep through its various filters, should they be liable? The panel's top Democrat, Maria Cantwell, who opposed the move last week, saying she was against using the committee's serious subpoena power for a partisan effort 40 days before an election, changed her mind and voted to approve the move. Wow, this is huge. By the way, we're live, in case you're wondering. Live show. You can join us 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Do leave a comment if you do watch us after the fact or during the live show. Quote, I actually can't wait to ask Mr. Zuckerberg further questions, Cantwell said. I welcome the debate about 230. So do I, because I think it is going to be a very nuanced debate. I think that Facebook, by and large, is doing a decent job. I know, heaven forbid, I think that they can do a decent job. Now, again, for the billionth time, if someone says, look at this atrocious post, I will stand next to you and go, yes, this garbage post should have been shut down. You can show me post after post after post. The question is the volume. How much is Facebook filtering? They are filtering an incredible amount of garbage posts. Where do they draw the line? We covered in a recent video that they are no longer allowing anti-vaccine ads. So they're drawing the line there. They're drawing the line at Holocaust denial. But obviously, there is a ton of nuance to this. And anyone who thinks otherwise, I think, is nuts. The committee, chaired by Republican Senator Roger Wicker, had originally asked the executives to come on October 1st on a voluntary basis and was ready to issue subpoenas last week. On Thursday, he said Section 230's sweeping liability protections are stifling diversity of political discourse on the internet. Quote, after extending an invite to these executives, I regret that they have again declined to participate and answer questions about issues that are so visible and urgent to the American people, Wicker said. Now, as I've mentioned, Facebook is a hub for what could be absolutely unfiltered free speech. But I like to use the analogy of a household, right? I feel like Facebook has entered the like parenthood phase of their development. I feel like they kind of have kids, and you kind of realize that, you know, you can swear up a storm around your kids. You can say free speech around your kids, but you really should probably behave in a certain way, in a more mature way around your kids. Now, that isn't to say that the household is the only environment. There's the house, there's the church, there's the dojo, there's the basketball court. There's just a million different places, and Facebook has to represent all of them. And so at the end of the day, I think Facebook's free speech forever, always free speech kind of vibe totally worked to get them where they currently are. This is the nature of getting into this unbelievably large scale, which is now you have to deal with all of this other, all of the other drama that comes with being this popular. Republican President Donald Trump has made holding tech companies accountable for allegedly stifling conservative voices a theme of his administration. As a result, calls for a reform of Section 230 have been intensifying. The fact that we can might actually be able to hear this, but prior to the election, is a big, big deal. The other big deal is that it's not just Facebook. It's Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Governments are coming after them. I've made the wager years ago that certain politicians will make their entire careers based on going after big tech. Unsurprisingly, we find ourselves in the thick of it right now. Oh my goodness. My favorite thing when it comes to opening up an article is listening to a video ad that autoplays. Thank you, thehill.com, for that ridiculous advertisement. Chris Wallace, Facebook, Twitter limits on Hunter Biden story smack of Big Brother. This from Joe Concha, again, thehill.com. Chris Wallace said Friday he's got a real problem with this week's decision by Facebook and Twitter to limit users from sharing a controversial New York Post article on Hunter Biden. We covered this yesterday. Check out yesterday's videos for details about that. Quote, either it's the Wild West and you post everything, and I can understand the concern about that after what happened in 2016 with Russian disinformation, or you put everything out there, and if you have a problem with some of it, then put a word on there to your users and say, we can't confirm this story, or there's some questions with this story. I would agree with that. If it is true that McEnany, the press secretary, was banned from Twitter, as we covered yesterday, for posting the New York Post article, and that the New York Post article can't be confirmed at this time, then yes, a we can't confirm this story is fair, in my estimation. I have noticed in videos I've been doing previously, I did one on how Facebook is banning or Holocaust denial videos. And on my video, there is a Wikipedia link to the Holocaust. I did another one on how Facebook is, I want to say, banning anti-vaccination ads. And there was a little vaccine Wikipedia link on the bottom of my video. So the artificial intelligence is smart enough to kind of determine the theme, and they can add additional information if they're concerned about it. The banning of these accounts, I think, is where people are getting very, very upset. Quote, but to just ban it and to say nobody is allowed to discuss this story or post this story, which is out there, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle. It was the front page of the New York Post. Really strikes me as smacking of Big Brother, according to Wallace. His comments came after, here we go, this is what we talked about yesterday. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany told Fox News on Wednesday night that Twitter essentially had her at, quote, gunpoint by locking her out of her account. So unprecedented times when it comes to the power of big tech. I think they are going to be held accountable for their actions here. Now, if Twitter was correct and the New York Post article was very wrong, then they will come out of this in a much different light than if it's correct. So there's a little bit of a gamble, I feel, on the on behalf of Twitter and Facebook. So we'll see what the facts on the ground are after the fact. But ultimately, I think the banning of the account is a step too far. I think, as Wallace mentioned, saying we're unable to confirm the story at this time is probably a more nuanced and correct approach. We've been covering Australian Facebook. This from TheGuardian.com. Tech giant fails to convince court it doesn't carry out business in Australia as privacy regulator accuses Facebook of breaches. The story we covered earlier was that the news publishers in Australia are looking to get paid. So we will see what the reality of the situation here is. Facebook has been dealt a blow in its fight to fend off Australian legal action surrounding the Cambridge Analytical scandal, with the tech giant failing to convince the federal court it does not carry out business in Australia. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner sued Facebook for allegedly breaching the privacy of more than 300,000 Australians between March 2014 and May 2015. Cambridge Analytica provided assistance to the Trump campaign, blah, blah, blah. I'm not too convinced that this story is entirely relevant at this point. I kind of wanted to cover news publishing, so we're going to move on. Forbes.com, LinkedIn's 50 best startups to work for in 2020. This from Lewis Columbus. 19 of the top 15 hottest startups to work for in the U.S., according to LinkedIn, are from the software industry. Just teach the truckers to code. 90% of the top startups do not require a college degree. I have noticed this. I've talked about this at length. If someone comes to work for Send It Rising, I am much more interested in whether or not they've built a website, managed a Google Ads campaign, been successful with Facebook ads, etc., than I am with an English degree from XYZ University. Better.com is the hottest startup to work for in the U.S. this year, with 171 positions currently open on LinkedIn. DoorDash, really, is the second hottest startup to work for in 2020 and currently has over 1,200 open positions on LinkedIn today. I assume those positions are all corporate, but could be wrong. IoT startup Samsara is the fourth hottest startup to work for in 2020, combining the power of IoT-enabled hardware, the Internet of Things-enabled hardware, with analytical software to boost efficiencies in industries such as trucking and food production. I'm curious about Better.com. So in New York City, who wants to live in Manhattan right now? Yikes. While the U.S. economy quickly sank into a recession at the start of the pandemic, one of its engines has been roaring housing. Digital mortgage lender Better.com. So digital mortgage, so they're flying high. DoorDash, for obvious reasons, is doing quite well. Robinhood, which bills itself as investing for everyone, has sought to democratize stock marketing investing via its app by making trades affordable and easy to execute. So they're doing quite well. Samsara makes internet-connected sensor systems used by fleets of trucks and other vehicles to operate safer and more efficiently. Apparently, Samsara is doing quite well. Databricks is an open-source analytics platform. It gives companies data science and machine learning tools, so I'm not surprising that's doing well. Many of these companies I am not aware of, and we could spend all day. Quibi, what? Mobile entertainment platform Quibi launched in early April with a roster of big-name stars like Chrissy Teigen, Idris Elba, and the Kardashians, creating exclusive content and features some well-known names on the business side. Apparently, Quibi is a great place to work. Full-time headcount, 250 people, founded 2018 in L.A. Anything else on this list that I know about? Not really. Well, there you go. A little bit of information about what's what. Small business payments and marketing startup Five Stars raised $52 million. This from TechCrunch. It's a difficult time for small businesses, to put it mildly, and Five Stars CEO Victor Ho said that many of the big digital platforms aren't really helping. He argued that those platforms all have the same underlying model. They seek to take over small business customer base and then charge them a tax to start reaching to those customers. Superficially, a company like Five Stars, which has created software to support small business payments and marketing, might not sound that different. I feel like TechCrunch and Five Star are like in the same. This feels like one of those articles that's just an advertisement for Five Star. I think we've looked at that before. Not impressed. If your marketing plan doesn't have these five components, it is doomed, according to Entrepreneur.com. This article by Matt Malanga. When you want a new car, building one from scratch doesn't figure high on the list of options. I suppose that's true. These first paragraphs are always so terrible. You'd need to be a serious expert mechanic. Yeah, no. Okay, I'm not going to swear, but you know what I was about to say. To source all the different parts and put them together correctly. And even then, it would take a massive investment of time and energy. Yet that's effectively the scenario that marketing departments around the world have found themselves in. Modern marketing's blah, 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 blah. What are your 5 points? Team collaboration. It's important to have team collaboration. OMG. Yeah, we know. Content, duh. Channels. Content has no value unless it's being pushed somewhere. Here's something that you should probably know. I've been doing this show for about 3 months, and I made a huge mistake. My titles for the videos were the name of the show, which was Marketing as a Foreign Language, episode whatever, and then I would talk about what the content of the specific show is in the description. That is a terrible idea. Over the last couple of days, we've had five times as much traffic, and that's because I'm actually titling the YouTube video correctly. I was of the mindset after 3 months of doing the show that I must be doing something wrong, and I was. So it's kind of one of those things where if it's not working, you keep banging your head against the wall, you might just be doing something wrong. And so when it comes to things like channels, you know, it's not enough to say, okay, be on Facebook, be on LinkedIn, be on Snapchat, be on TikTok, be on Pinterest and do these things. It's much more important to actually understand what it is that you're doing and make sure that you're doing it correctly. This article is like unreadably bad. I can't do it. Sorry, entrepreneur.com. It's just one of those things. Really? Team collaboration? Tell me something I don't know. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're here every single Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Subscribe, why don't you? I would really appreciate it. Obviously, you hear everyone say it. I am no different. So, Senate panel approves sending subpoenas to CEOs of Twitter, Facebook, and Google. Huge news. Section 230 is going to become a household language, you could say. And so, away we go. Should Facebook be liable for Crazy Joe or Crazy Bob or whoever, I'm just picking a random name, content? And to what extent should they be liable? Same thing with Google, but Google to a much smaller extent. They don't really have that problem. Twitter definitely has that problem. Have we let the anonymity of the internet go too far? Right? Have we allowed the faceless, nameless masses filling their hearts with hate, spewing it all over the internet, too much room? Is there some space to rein this in? And if the government goes after, you know, the Facebooks, Twitters, and Googles of the world, are we just knocking down the old guard and allowing the new guard to just take over? Or will there be sweeping legislation that basically says, look, if you're going to have a website, here's the other thing too. It's not just Facebook, Twitter, and Google. There are a lot of websites out there that allow users to post content. And if everything has to go through a review, if everything anyone posts on the internet has to go through some sort of filter, well, we have entered a new age. So where are we going to go with this? All of this coming at the precipice of the election, the energy, I think globally right now is just so tense. So I'm an optimist. I know that that really bugs people sometimes, but I do think we're going to make it through this. But this is definitely an interesting development. Chris Wallace, I think I agree with him on this. Now, if the New York Post article turns out to be completely concocted and fake, then yeah, I would have to admit that, sure, Facebook and Twitter's reaction to it would have more merit than if it wasn't. You could make the case that under no circumstances, even if they said aliens are attacking, you shouldn't be able to ban someone's Twitter account for that sort of thing. I think the line between government officials and their base now includes a private company. And this is just unheard of in humanity, or in the timeline of humanity. And so we need to address these situations with nuance. We have to address the situations with nuance. And so this particular instance, I think, is really all about that New York Post article and whether or not it is valid. That's really going to help us understand how this all plays out. We're going to skip that. Let's see. Who's big on LinkedIn right now? Yeah, Better.com, crazy. I've been predicting the collapse of the housing market for a year now. And if you'd have asked me, you know, back in March, April, I would have said, oh, yeah, we're going down like a rock. Could not have been more wrong. And so we wait. You know, I still think it's going to go down, but we shall see. But in the meantime, companies like Better.com doing quite well. And last but not least, content. The big takeaway here is that you need video content, live shows, that sort of thing. You get it. Anyway, like and subscribe. I would appreciate it. Thanks so much for swinging on by. I'll be here 10:30 a.m. every single Monday through Friday for the live show. But if you're watching us after the fact, do appreciate it. Do leave a comment. I want to know your thoughts. Trust me, I really do. And we'll see you for the next episode. Bye for now.